listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Wake up! Our message this day. Wake up from our sleep, from our drowsiness. I think I've told this story before, and it might be on this same Sunday, this first Sunday of Advent, but one of my childhood memories, not one of my more pleasant ones, was when I was in high school and I had stayed out too late, and my dad would come and he would rip off the covers of the bed on a school day. And so it'd be cold, you know, even in Houston in this time of year, it would be cold, and I'd be shivering, and then he would pretend like he had a bugle or a trumpet, and he would go, oh, it was terrible. It was a terrible memory. And then he'd do the second verse, too. You know, just when you thought it was over. Oh, God, I'm going back to sleep, Dad. It's a good image. This first Sunday of Advent, in these texts today, we hear from Paul and Jesus and the prophet Isaiah, wake up from your sleep, rouse yourself, for the Son of Man is coming. We don't know when or how. A quote from a biblical and liturgical scholar Gail Ramshaw. In Advent, we are called to ready our lives to receive our disorienting God. The arrival of God, like a flood, always surprises us. Are we ready? Are you ready to receive a disorienting God into your life, sisters and brothers in Christ, Advent people? God always comes, and usually the arrival is in strange and mysterious and surprising ways. Heather and I were a little bit non-traditional when we got engaged, in that I didn't do the traditional thing of finding a ring and giving it to her. Heather wanted to pick out the ring for herself. Her attitude was, I'm the one that has to wear it for the rest of my life. Oh, that's nice, right? I'm the one that wants to wear it for the rest of my life, and so I'm going to pick one that I like. So we went to the jewelry store together. I remember the jewelry store in Thousand Oaks. We picked out the ring, and she knew that she was going to get a ring. What she didn't know, at least I want to believe this. What she didn't know is how she would receive the ring and where she would receive the ring. Sometime in the summer of 1999, she knew she would get it. Where and how, she didn't know. And I think that might be a good image for us also this Advent day, this Advent season. We know that God comes to us. There's no surprise about that. We hear it every year. We say it every Sunday. You taste it every Sunday. We know that God is with us and that God comes to us. But we don't know always where and how. We don't know always where and how. We have to be on the lookout for how God comes to us, because often it is in surprising ways. Ways that we aren't expecting. It's in the little places. It's in the unexpected moments. It's kind of like being still and waiting for wildlife to emerge at the water's edge at daybreak. I don't know how many nature lovers. You go to Yellowstone or the Grand Tetons and you wake up early in the morning and you have to be still and quiet and wait for that wildlife to emerge at the water's edge. So too with God, we have to be quiet. We have to watch carefully. We're not quite sure what will pop out, how God will meet us, whether it's out of the woods or out of the waters. Maybe it's a new friendship with someone who's just so different from you. You never would have expected you would be friends with them. Maybe a different culture or a different religious background or political persuasion. God surprises us, right? Maybe it's a calm that mysteriously comes over you in this time, this crazy, hectic time. Maybe there's things going on at work or at home, and somehow, somewhere, this mysterious voice seems to say, it'll be okay. This too shall pass. God comes in surprising ways. Where do you get the strength? Maybe it's in the beauty of the sky. If We've had some beautiful sunsets lately. Not expecting. God comes in surprising ways into our hearts, fills us with joy and peace in an otherwise chaotic time. We know that God always comes. What we have to be on the lookout for is where and how. We know we're getting a ring. We don't know quite where or how that's going to happen. Personally, lately, I see God in the loving work of you all. Brothers and sisters in the faith here at Shepherd of the Valley, I see it through the kindnesses that are extended one another, through communication that happens out of love and concern. Almost always, people are acting out of good intentions in this place, and I thank God for that. I see God in the new friendships that are being made. I see God in the love that this congregation has for children. And I see God in the plethora of artistic expression that just keeps kind of blooming in this sanctuary. Notice some new things in this space. Some of you have been here for many years. We have new paraments this morning. Aren't these beautiful altar paraments? And this here, quilted by our very own Stephanie Jordan. Stephanie's not with us. A whole committee came together and we kind of talked about ideas and visions for what this would look like. And here's what Stephanie came up with. She's not with us this morning. She's traveling with Larry. Keep her in your prayers. They're in Turkey. Thought that was interesting that they would celebrate Thanksgiving in Turkey. But it's a long way back, so keep them in your prayers. But Stephanie has done this beautiful work of art and a stole that all goes with it. And there's more to come. And when we talked about this, you know, I don't remember exactly how the conversation went, but, you know, I think we were talking about waves at one point, so I'm not sure what you see in this image, in this design. I think some waves were intended. It's an appropriate time to talk about baptism during Advent. Next Sunday and the Sunday after that, we'll be talking and reading stories about John the Baptist, the baptizer, who says, prepare the way of the Lord. So certainly one might see water. I've had a sneak preview of these, and I've been looking at them and kind of praying over them, actually. And something that I see are hills. And I can't get this image out of my head of Advent, the season of Advent, as kind of a season of hills. And I never had really thought about that before. I'm starting to think about different geographical terrains representing different seasons of the church year. So, you know, Lent I've always kind of thought of as a wilderness, you know, maybe a flat plain. You've been out in the desert. Our big days, Easter and Christmas and Epiphany, are kind of mountaintop days. And Advent, just these rolling hills, these beautiful hills. Not too much, not too little, not too flat, not too dramatic. Just these peaceful rolling hills. And what a gift that is in this crazy time of year. I'm feeling the holiday craziness already. I'm sure many of us are. Just these peaceful rolling hills. What a gift the church gives us by giving us Advent. Just a time to reflect and sort of be at peace. And at the top of the hills, maybe each Sunday we think of it as a hill, and we're on top of a hill. At the top of each hill in our Sundays of Advent, we encounter these prophets, Jesus and Paul from our readings that Heather read, and Isaiah, beautiful passages. Isaiah says, here at the beginning, he speaks of the end. Take comfort, people. Take comfort. Even while there's chaos, there will be peace, Isaiah says to us. Thanks be to God. Even in the midst of chaos, there will be peace. He talks about beating our swords into plowshares. We don't use swords anymore for battle as much. It's more like something we kind of display on the wall or something. But maybe the modern day equivalent would be our AK-47s pounded into gardening tools. Powerful image, isn't it? And Isaiah says, it will be so. We are Advent people. We are people of hope. In the end, we might not live to that point, but in the end, God will take all in all, and there will be peace. Paul and Jesus echo that, and they say, get ready, be on guard, wake up, because God is arriving, and God is arriving in surprising ways. You know you're getting a ring, you just don't know when or how, so watch out. So what types of things can we do to be more alert and more ready for God and God's arrival? I think about guards sentinels. Some of you have done that kind of duty, been on guard, stayed up while everyone else went to sleep. When we were in Germany last year, before we met up with the rest of the group, Heather and I had, speaking of wedding, kind of an anniversary, we had a few days on our own in Germany, and we went to a little town called Rotenburg, which is almost smack in the middle of the country, just a little south and east of Frankfurt. And it's kind of a touristy trap now, and it's got these beautiful cobblestone streets. It survived the war. Somehow, miraculously, Rotenburg was not bombed, and so all the buildings are the original buildings, unlike most of the rest of the country. And so we spent a few days in this little town called Rotenburg. And every night, as kind of an attraction, there was this man that would come walking through the street. He was called the Night Watchman. And he was dressed in medieval garb. He had a big black robe, and he had a staff, and it kind of looked like a combination of an axe and a spear. And he would walk very dramatically through the streets, and he was holding a lantern, and he was the Night Watchman. And then he would go and he would lead these free tours all around the city. And he would talk about the importance of the Night Watchman. The Night Watchman in medieval times was certainly very important. Now it's sort of a myth, and it's sort of fun to think about the Night Watchman, but the Night Watchman was the one who wandered the streets in this kind of slow way and just kept an eye on things. He was the one that lit the lanterns all through the city so that there was enough light. He would break up the darkness. And if there was danger, you know, they didn't have insurance then, so if your place burns down, you actually lose everything. That never comes back to you. So the Night Watchman would carry a bugle and blow the bugle. And people would come out of their homes and he would literally save lives. It was a menial job. He wasn't the governor or the mayor of the city. He wasn't paid lots of money, but he would risk his life and limb to keep people safe. God's people also, like the Night Watchman, wander the hills and the valleys of this season, watching out, sounding the alarm for those who might be in danger, protecting the vulnerable. The Night Watchmen, people of God, we keep our eyes on the world. For the world, even the scary parts, we shed light on what is broken. We name it, bring it out into the open. God's Advent people, you and I have this very important task as we climb the hills and descend the valleys of Advent. Indeed, it is very important exposing the wrongdoing, the evil and the injustice, the violence and the abuse in our world. Martin Luther says that a theologian of the cross calls the thing what it is. He or she names it, brings it out into the light, sounds the horn. Sin is real. Yes, we have a very important job, you and I, God's Advent people, but that's not the only task. For the other side of guarding the night, for us Christians, is announcing hope. Not just crying out when there's danger, but the flip side of it too, is announcing hope. Comfort, oh comfort my people. This is something that the medieval watchmen didn't do so explicitly, but God's Advent people announce the coming of Christ with joy and expectation. We announce to one another, because we have to keep reminding ourselves too of this hope. We announce to one another and to this world that God is here and God is coming. Our gathering hymn this morning, interesting one. Written a long, long time ago, so it uses some ancient images, but it talks about Christ and the people of God, even the world itself, coming together like a bride and a groom. Wake, awake, for night is flying. Awake your lamps with gladness take. Rise and prepare the feast to share. Go meet the bridegroom who draws near. It's not just about announcing danger. It's also about announcing that the feast is being prepared, that Christ will come. Zion hears the watchman singing, and all her heart with joy is springing. She, that is the world, the church, wakes. She wakes. She rises from her gloom. Her dear friend comes down, all glorious and strong in grace and truth, victorious. We just sang these words this morning. Her star is risen, her light is come. Light has come into the world. In the darkness of this world, with all evidence to the contrary, God's people sound the horn or the bagpipes. God's people cry out, not just that there's danger and sin, but that Christ will come and make all things new. Today we look out, sisters and brothers in Christ, we look out from the tops of the hills, we watch out, we cry out with hope and with confidence in God's presence. And we're not doing it alone. We stand on the hills together. We might not be able to describe how God will come or when God will come exactly, but we wait with joyful expectation. Together we watch as God's Advent people. We wander about, not ignorantly, but consciously. Christ calls us to awareness, to stand guard, and so we do, trusting that Christ comes in peace to guard us and to give us joy this day and always. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.